You know what, Sam?
What?
I think we need another goalie.
Yes, we do.
Coming to you from the heart of Canes country, this is the Caniac Report, your number one source for everything Carolina Hurricanes, hot takes, predictions, game analysis, and NHL news. And now your hosts, Sam Wallace and Sam Driscoll.
All right, we're back with another episode of the Caniac Report, and boy, has it been a rough start to this road trip, Sam. Mm-hmm. It has been frustrating and just brutal at the same time, I actually would say.
Yes, frustrating one game, brutal the next game, and we'll see what tonight brings. Full disclosure, we're recording this before Calgary versus Carolina. Sam and I will watch that game as long as we can stay awake.
Well, I have tomorrow off, so I can watch the entire game.
Unless we're getting shellacked again.
Yes, unless we're getting bamboozled from, like we did in the Edmonton
Can't
game.
Can't say shellacked, Sam?
I just think that's a weird word for some reason. But, yeah. Regardless, though, the Calgary and Vancouver game that's going to be this weekend, well, we will review that Sunday in our recording for the episode that's going to come out Monday, so I think that works out. So, yeah, brutal start.
Monday. And Monday's episode.
What's Monday?
Monday's episode, Sam. Remember, we're going to have a guest.
Oh, yes, we are going to have a guest.
First time on this podcast, we're going to have Corey Lavallette from The Athletic, I believe. Right?
Yes,
from The Athletic. Corey Lavallette from The Athletic is going to be joining us to talk about the Carolina Hurricanes. I'm really excited about that. I've enjoyed his work. I know, I believe he used to be the North State Journal, which is probably what I was getting confused with in my mind. But yes, Corey Lavallette, he has been a big Hurricanes contributor. He is very, very great. You've heard him probably on the Canes Corner podcast with... He's still
with the North State Journal. I'm looking...
Okay, you've got it pulled up. Cool, yeah. Still with the North State Journal. I know he writes with The Athletic. So, that's awesome.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
And another thing, too, kind of forgot to bring this up in the past couple episodes. But remember, we have a promo with SeatGeek. For your first purchase with SeatGeek, you get 20% off if you use promo code Caniac Report, all one word.
Yes,
use it. It's a great idea if you have not purchased on SeatGeek before.
Like, don't you want discounted tickets? The holidays are coming up. It's the perfect gift. You get some Hurricanes tickets for your friend who's a huge Caniac. Do it. Trip would want you to, right? Huge Caniacs out there. That he wants.
Yeah. What would Tripp do? We'd have a segment.
He would get
that.
Taco Bell.
What would Tripp do?
What would Tripp do? He would get Taco Bell and go to the Hurricanes game. That's what Tripp would do, right? Taco Bell.
No, that'd be a fun segment. Actually, what would Tripp do? That'd be. I know. I'm gonna keep that in my mind.
But yes, use our code. Go get yourself a discount on Hurricanes tickets on SeatGeek because why not?
Exactly.
Telling me you want to go to a Hurricanes game full price? Well, not with the way they're playing right now, so go get yourself a discount.
Yes, definitely. And now we're going to get on to the start of NHL news like we usually do. Sam, there is a player that got signed, a former Hurricane player, in Nino Niederreiter. He gets a 3-year, $4 million contract. I think that's pretty good. And before you say anything... Even though I think it's frustrating that he got signed by that amount, but I think it's hard to predict the market when it's 2 years after.
Yeah, but we should have signed him that before.
After.
We should have signed him that before. We should have signed him that before, Sam.
He wanted more money before. At that point.
We should have given him the more money. I love Nino. I mean, good for him getting, you know, the contract. I just wish he was still in Carolina.
Oh, he was great. And I mean, to be honest, and listen, I mean, I like the stall line at times this season, but I thought the stall line was a lot better, I thought.
With Nino.
With Nino, Stahl, and Faust. Well, I love Martinook. I do.
You had someone who could put the puck in the net.
Exactly.
Ain't nobody on that line who can put the puck in the net. So the Stahl, Nino, Fast line could put the puck in the net and shut down. So this and the new line, the Stahl, Martinook, Fast line, can shut it down, but they can't put the puck in the net.
Yes. And as you look at that line and the stats that that line brings,
Fast is the best one at it right now.
Four goals have been scored because Stahl scored last night against Edmonton.
Yeah.
But so that's two goals, I think, for him. Foss only has two goals, I believe.
Okay. I thought he had three or four.
I don't think he had three or four. I mean, I'm going to check. But the biggest thing is that that line hasn't really been producing a lot of points. But, I mean, you're not really looking toward that line anyways of scoring lots of points. It's supposed to be a shutdown line. And, yeah, it might be probably maybe a little bit slow at points because it is a veteran-heavy lineup. Okay, so Jordan Stahl, 3 goals. Jesper Fast, 2.
Okay.
So 5 goals total
on that line. Because Martin doesn't have a one yet.
No, he does not.
Oh, boy. And his contract's up this year, so it's something to think about, too.
Yeah, that actually is very interesting. But, yeah, good for Nino, obviously, on getting that contract. Yep. And the next piece of news, Sam, NHL had their Board of Governors meeting. And two things came out of this. One, the upcoming draft is officially set in Las Vegas.
And at the Sphere.
Yes, at the Sphere. So that's, I mean, obviously, it's going to be in Vegas, so it's probably going to be fun.
Sure.
You want tickets?
I want to go. We're going to find a way to go. We're going to figure it out. No promises, but we are going to try to go to the NHL draft at the Sphere because it's the last one before they decentralize it. So it's really the last time that you and I would have a shot at really experiencing the draft.
That really would be fun to go to. And potentially the last centralized
it's in the Sphere. Draft. It's at the Sphere. That thing's cool.
Yeah, it is.
So it's like, okay, we got to, I mean, I'm going to take it off just in case. Try and go. I think it'd be fun. It'd be fun. It's on a weekend. Like it's like a Friday, Saturday this year.
Yeah, it is on a weekend. I think it's on Friday and the 2nd to 7th rounds are on Saturday.
So I would try and take Friday off. We'd fly in. Well, take Thursday off. Fly in Thursday. Be there Friday. Do Saturday and maybe fly out late Saturday night.
Yeah. We can definitely talk about that off.
Yes.
I was about to say off camera, but...
yeah, for the video portion of the podcast.
Yes. But, yeah, that's going to be fun, of course, especially for the teams that have not played good this season. I'm looking at you, San Jose, and Chicago. And the next piece of news that we are going to get to is, Sam, the official cap is going to be $87.7 million, which is a rise of $4.25 million, I believe, which is good. We're going to need all the cap space we are going to need this offseason.
Especially because I'm going to be making some arguments when we get to this week's games on some things that need to change. So we can use that money in very specific ways this offseason.
Yeah, so we're going to have around almost $32 million in cap space. So, but the big thing is you look at all of the restricted and unrestricted free agents, Sam. There are going to be a few players that aren't going to be here for next season. We can probably do an episode on that later. But that's definitely news because it shows us, Canes fans, how much money the Canes are going to be able to use in a lot of those players that are coming off of contracts.
Yeah, for sure.
So now we're going to get into some Canes news, Sam. Apparently, Elia Friedman said on his 32 Thoughts podcast that apparently this offseason we apparently wanted another defenseman in Mario Ferraro, which that would have been very interesting. Having interest in both Erik Karlsson and Mario Ferraro. I'd probably prefer Mario Ferraro, especially after
we got Tony D'Angelo. I don't want none of them. We don't need defense.
No, we don't need defense either.
We need a goalie or we need offense. Stop sniffing around the defenseman. Stop it.
Someone said, I think our strategy is to get all the defensemen so no other team has one.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. And I'll tell you right now, at some point, we're going to start to look real stupid.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Need any more
Tony D'Angelo is benched, and he's been benched for, what, 6 games now?
I think it's been longer than that.
7? Look, guess who was awful last night? Slavin and Pesci. Burns, too. Mix up the lines. Burns is older. Like, Rod, stop being so damn stubborn. Mix up the defensive lines. Put D'Angelo in. The power play hasn't been clicking as good as it needs to. I don't remember the last time we scored on the power play. I don't think we did it against Buffalo, and they're bad. So, please.
Actually, we did do it against Buffalo.
We did get a power play goal.
So, we had two or three, and we converted on 2. Power play goals.
Against a bad team. We didn't do it against Edmonton. Didn't do it against freaking Winnipeg.
No.
I'm sorry. I don't see... Everyone talk... Look, people defend... You know what? I'll save it. I'll behave. Let's get through the Canes news, and then I'll go off. So I'll save it.
Okay. All right. And obviously, the last piece of news, Sam. I'm sure you're happy about this, so you can get to your tangent. Mike Maniscalco and Adam Gold are named finalists for North Carolina Sportscaster of the Year. Sam, I am very happy for both of those. And I'm very happy specifically for Mike, mainly because of what he went through with his father. I'm really happy that he got that honor of being a finalist. I'm really happy for him.
Yeah, for sure. He's done a very good job as play-by-play, filling really big shoes. So he definitely has deserved the honor of being nominated.
Yes, he has. And that is all the news that we have for this episode. And now we're going to go into the losing games against both Edmonton and Winnipeg. But before we do, let's get to our sponsor. Bet the action on the ice with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use code THPN. New customers can get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting just $5 on hockey. That's code THPN. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boo Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 23. All rights reserved. Okay, Sam. Winnipeg. Now, this was to me the most frustrating game out of the two.
Because we're playing so good. So the result was not just. It just harkens back to the problems Carolina has. We have Adam Gold on pretty often. He's very good. Great Canes insider. And he said the other day that he believes the Hurricanes have enough scoring. I respectfully disagree, and I think this game proves that. Problem is, Carolina gets great goals every 6 games, I feel. They aren't scoring the way they need to on a consistent basis. But this team hasn't been consistent all season. I think Carolina definitely needs more offense. They need a guy who's designed to, you know, who puts the puck in the net. And we're not getting it from people on our team who's supposed to anyway. Svechnikov being the big one. He has 1 goal.
I'm really frustrated with Svech. I really am.
Unacceptable. At least he's getting points, but you need to be scoring a goal. The only person who scored a goal was Marty Natchez. Great wraparound goal. It's a signature move. Hard-working goal because it bounces off a Winnipeg Jets player, goes into the net. That's great, hard-working. That's what you want to see. It's a dirty goal. Unfortunately, after Winnipeg goes up, I think it was 2-0. Carolina just gets that one. Granted, we shut them down. I mean, the first period, shots on goal, 3 for Winnipeg. Second period was their best period. They got 13. I think that was really when I mean, Winnipeg got a goal. Was both of their goals scored
by that top line with Shifley, Ehlers, and Connor? And my God, we had a tough time, I noticed, in that game of winning faceoffs against Shifley.
Faceoff percentage in the game, the final, was 52% Carolina, 48% Winnipeg. So it was
pretty, really?
It was pretty close.
Wow.
Both teams killed the penalties that they got. Carolina had three power plays, went 0 for 3 again. The power play is not good.
Is this your tangent right now? Is this beginning?
I mean, I have nothing else to say about the Winnipeg game other than I think Carolina was the better team. They played very, very well the entire game. They dominated the Jets. The Jets were horrible in that first period. Even though they scored, Carolina was the better team.
It took like 16 minutes for Winnipeg to get their first shot.
Yes. And at that point, I think it was at about the 10-minute mark, I looked over at you and I was like, Sam, it's going to be one of those games. And lo and behold, Winnipeg scores on like their second shot on goal. And I'm like, I saw it coming a mile away.
Well, we weren't the only ones. I saw a lot of people on Hurricanes Twitter saying, hey, we saw this coming.
And I think the fact that we see it coming shows it's not a fluke. It's this happens when you don't have someone who's a finisher. I mean, Seth Jarvis is probably the closest thing we've got right now. Maybe Natchez too.
Yeah. And you know what's funny, but
they're still not purebred finishers or purebred goal scorers.
Yeah, I agree with we really don't have any purebred finishers. But we know what's funny is we are ninth in the NHL in goals for. That is really interesting.
And I think that has a lot to do with the first 10 games of the season, because it hasn't been the case, I would say, the last... I mean, how many games have we played? 25? I think the first 10 versus the last 15 was different. I mean, we were scoring a crap ton of goals, but our problem is there, our defense was trash and our goaltending was just as bad. So we were giving up a lot. We were scoring a lot, but we were giving up more than what we were scoring. So yeah, goals for, it was very, very high, but I don't think it's been that way of late. I mean, it's just part of, again, that reality of Carolina being so inconsistent right now.
And it's disappointing because it wasn't just that game where we were playing very good. We played good in the Buffalo game. I thought we played excellent against the Islanders. It's just Kochetkov was not good against the Islanders. To me, the only game that we didn't dominate in...
Winnipeg.
I would say probably...
And I disagree with Adam Gold. When you lose 8-2, good God.
I kind of agree with him.
You didn't. Yeah. Your penalty kill didn't do what it's supposed to do. Just because it's Tampa doesn't mean... We shut Tampa Bay out. And then you let them score 8-2? That's on your team. You got to kill those penalties.
Your goaltending.
You need a save. Not saying they were all on Ranta, but you got to get a save.
I thought most of it was on goaltending, in my opinion.
I mean, sure, but you can't do that.
And no, you can't. Philadelphia game I was mad at. I was really mad at the Philadelphia game.
Yeah, and I think rightfully so. And I think at the end of the day...
And Florida was bad, too.
Yeah. The problem is we're able to name all these games where we haven't been good. And Carolina's, the results haven't been there like they have been in the last few seasons. And again, just if you look at the standings, Carolina's played 25 games, 29 points... We're almost 10 points behind New York. We ain't going to be a Metro Division champions this year unless we go on a heater. And I'm really, truly sorry. I haven't seen anything that this team is willing to show me that we can go on a heater. I haven't seen it yet. We haven't won more than, what, 3 games in a row this season? Right? Maybe? Possibly?
I'm looking. Don't worry. Because I always get interested.
And this is where my concern is. Carolina's 29 points. If the season ends at the 25-game mark, Washington has 3 more games left. If they win 2...
Yeah, 3 games.
See, that's not good enough. For a team that's supposed to win a Stanley Cup, that's not good enough. If Washington wins 2 of their 3, they'll take our spot in the playoffs. Or at least... In the current standing that we have, we'll be a wild card team because we'll take out Toronto. And even then, well, Toronto, if they win a game, they beat us out. We're in a position where we don't hold our own fate. And I don't like being in a position like that. And Carolina hasn't been in a position like that in a very long time. They need to go on a heater. There's some good news. Carolina has done pretty decent against Metropolitan teams this year.
And the season's still young.
We're at that quarter mark.
We are, but it's still young.
We're at that quarter mark. We're in a playoff spot. There are positives. There are a heck of a lot more negatives right now. Inconsistency. Goaltending. Lack of scoring. Lack of common sense behind the bench. Yes. Rod Brind'Amour is the greatest coach we've probably ever had. I put him at number two only because Peter Laviolette won a Stanley Cup. And you can't take it away from the guy who won you a cup.
No, you can't.
And that's why he's going to be number one until or if Rod Brind'Amour wins us a Stanley Cup. But I can tell you right now, Carolina somehow misses out on the playoffs. We do not make it to the Stanley Cup Finals. I do not re-sign Rod Brind'Amour. Because at that point, we've gone, is this year six? Or is this year five?
Five consecutive years.
So this is his sixth,
in the playoffs.
Sixth year.
Yep.
Sixth year. So five consecutive years. Two of the five, we make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. The other ones, we get knocked out in either the first round and the bubble year, or we get knocked out in the second round, the other two. But it's consistently, and I think you can put a lot of blame on management and a lot of blame on coaching. And I think this year you can put a lot on both. I think you can put a lot more the last few seasons on management, not coaching. I think the players did the best they could under Rod. I think this year you can put a lot on coaching decisions and a lot on management. And I think we're seeing a lot of all the problems that you and I have said have been there the last five seasons that the team has refused to address is starting to show. That's management side. Now it's coaching side this year because there are some fixes here that need to be done. One, you throw our freaking forward lines into a blender every other night. Right? Hell, what Martinook's playing on the first line? One, that's an idiotic decision that I don't understand why it happens. Especially when he hasn't scored a goal this year. Put Faust up there. Faust can play on the first line. If I remember correctly, he's played with Artemi Panarin New York. So Faust can skate and can play with the top players on this team. He's done it before. He could do it again. He's not that old. Martinook just doesn't have it in him this year, and that's fine. He does his job on the third line. What I think should be the fourth line, and it probably is really the fourth line, is the Staal line. Especially with how good our
That has been my argument, is the Staal line needs to, I think the line needs to be reduced in order to get more offense out of your other three lines.
Absolutely. And I think we're in a position now where coaching, I know a lot of people love Rod Brind'Amour, and I think I think rightfully so. As a player, he was a captain when we won the Stanley Cup. He brought us out of the dark ages. Forever, the Hurricanes fans should be thankful to him. There are a lot of great coaches in the National Hockey League.
And here's the thing. No coach is perfect.
No. No coach really is perfect.
There's always something fans are going to criticize a coach about.
And no coach lasts forever. No coach is able to hold a locker room for forever. It's part of the game. At some point, it's just, I'm hearing the same thing over and over again. You kind of shut it out. And I heard from last night, apparently, there's still not that buy-in. And I'm like, okay. All right, at this point, if there's not a buy-in,
I have a speculation on that buy-in.
I think it's Pesci. I think he's a problem in the locker room. I think there's reason to believe that he could be a problem. He was really bad last night. And two, it's well known we're not going to pay him $7 million. It's out in the world he wanted.
The way he played against Edmonton, he ain't going to get $7 million if he keeps playing like that.
But it's out there that we don't think we don't value him that way. So he knows we don't value him.
I don't value him at $7 million.
But again, this is back to the thing that you said at the beginning of the year. I agreed with you. This is the Jack Eichel problem. It's a locker room problem. It's going to be it. We both said, this could be a problem going into the season. I think it is a problem going into the season. Again, we have seven top four defensemen. One of them needs to go. And we need to commit to those who are left. Like, let them know. Like, Shea, hey, this is your final run here. Let's give it your best play for that next contract wherever you're going to go. I don't know if we're going to be able to re-sign you. And then you tell Pesci, hey, we're committed to getting this done. we're going to get you signed. Let's find a contract and a number we're going to do. Or you do the vice versa, right? Because there's so much in these guys' heads. Because it gets in their heads. It happened to Natchez, right? It was his contract year. Natchez didn't play well at all. It was in his head. And I think now we're seeing that with Pesci. I don't think Pesci's been very good this season. I think Shea's carried that line.
Oh, I
and
do,
Shea
too.
Has been outstanding. Again, one, if anything, I'm like, get on the phone with his agent. Let's get him signed now, and then we can do something with Pesci. It's not fair to D'Angelo to have to sit. It's not fair to Chatfield to have to sit. Whoever of them is sitting, I don't think it's fair, and I think it's stupid. My biggest thing is here, at some point, and I'm going to continue to question Rod until he's willing to jumble up the defensive pairs.
I do think...
The definition of insanity
at some point
is rolling out.
To.
The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting a different result. And I'm sorry, we haven't seen it yet. What? Change it. It actually looked really good when you had, I think it was Shea and D'Angelo and Pesci and Orlov. I really liked that look.
Yeah, I do agree with you there. I think there's too much... reluctancy of changing the top four defensemen. I think if it's not working, you gotta change it. I do. I completely agree with that. And that is my speculation, to be honest, of the buy-in. I do think that it's that defense. And apparently there are rumors of Tony D'Angelo might be trading. And the thing is, his value is probably really low right now. But... at the same time, I think a lot of teams right now kind of know what to expect with Tony D'Angelo. His forte isn't defense. His forte is power play, being a power play quarterback, and being very good offensively as a defenseman. So I just don't know what the value is there with D'Angelo, which frustrates me.
Well, so this is what I would do if I'm Carolina, and at this point it's like, why aren't you drawing this? I put D'Angelo with Slavin. That was a dynamic pair 2 years ago. They played very, very well. And I'm sorry, Slavin's just not he shouldn't be running a power play unit, and he is right now. I don't like it. I'd rather have Shea. If we're not changing the pairs, put Shea on the power play.
Because he has a better shot.
Yeah,
he just
and
does
you can leave Burns on. Burns should be on a power play unit because he's got a heck of a shot. But this is what I'm doing. Slavin, D'Angelo, Shea, Burns, Pesci, Orlov. Right now. But ideally, I move Pesci. I don't care where you move him to. You move him and get what you can. You move him. He's got a 15-team no-trade list, I think. It's modified. I know it's not full. So you look
it's modified.
So you look at the other, 17 teams in the league? You pick one, and you're like, all right, which of you 17 want this, and what do we do? What can we do to make this work? You move them. You get picks, prospects, and then you can flick those picks and prospects at the deadline.
Yes. So
because then you cleared up cap space.
Yes, and the reason why we're talking about this is because of that terrible Edmonton game that happened last night. And I kind of want to forget about that game entirely.
There wasn't anything good to talk about that game.
Kochetkov starts.
He gets
four
pulled.
Goals after that. He gets pulled, and Ranta comes in. He lets in two goals. Now, from what I heard, is that he was the best player on the ice. And when he's the best player on the ice and he lets in two goals, that really says something about the players in front of you.
No, they were all horrible. Rod gave an interview at some, I think it was 5-0, and he was mad. And I mean, you could tell he was mad. Be 100% honest with you. It's time. And look, I
think the number one thing here, number one priority, is to solve goaltending.
And right we have now. Questions about that, so we'll save that till we get to there.
Yes. Well, I mean, we could get to there right now because I honestly don't want to cover the Edmonton game.
All
right.
So I'll work down and these questions. We've got 6 or so. Some of them will talk about the goaltending, some of them don't. Some of them talk about some different options or more specific, so we'll go through them. First question from Eric. He was like, why is it so taboo to call out the management leadership? If the system they built isn't working or the players are fighting hard to do something else, isn't that a reflection of a systematic issue, not one or two players not buying in?
I love that question. I really do.
You first, then.
Okay, so I love that question. And funny enough, I deleted all the tweets because I didn't see the full tweet that Sam sent out about the question. Like, oh, we're going to answer them in our pod.
I was like, don't worry. We didn't hide anything from anybody. It was just, it wasn't designed to be discussed.
On Twitter. Yes. On X. Yeah. So, but I love that question. And here's the thing. Am I willing to go so far as there is this systemic issue in the team? No. But I do think it's more than just one or two guys that are just not buying in.
Yes.
I really do. I think there's a lot of players that aren't buying in. I think what we just discussed, I think having seven top four defensemen, I think is an issue. And I think another thing, too, that I think could be an issue is this team knows that they want to produce more goals.
Yep.
I could see something along the lines of the skillful players of like Aho, Svetch, Jarvis being like, I want to play a more offensive game than what you're teaching us. And I could see probably Stahl kind of being, with Stahl being the leader, I could see him along with Martinuk and Fosman and the other players that aren't as probably skillful as the Aho, the Jarvises, being like, no, but you got to play to this good defensive structure. And I'm like, I could see that on the ice. The whole defensive top four thing, I think that's more of a locker room thing. But what you see on the ice, I think, is kind of you have one mindset of a group of players that just want to play more offensive and another mindset that want to play a little bit more to the style that Brendan Moore implemented. That's what I'm seeing. And I think part of analyzing the game and analyzing the Hurricanes, you have to be willing to call out the other team. There are a few people covering the Hurricanes, I'm not going to name names, that part of analyzing the game, you got to call out the bad things that the Hurricanes are doing. Again, not going to name names, but you know, there's been one person... I'm not going to name names, but you got to call out the bad stuff. I think that's part of analyzing the game.
The AFL podcast host, Sam?
No.
No, okay. Not me. I'm talking about other podcasts.
I'm not naming names, but...
Come on, Sam. Come on, Sam. Come on. I like Feisty Sam. I like Feisty Sam. Yeah, and I think that's fair. I guess... I'll call out management and coaching staff leadership all the time when I feel it appropriate. I'm not afraid. I know people aren't going to agree with me, and I'm okay with that.
I think you do it too much, in my opinion. But there are times where, yeah, I agree with you.
We're year six of a coaching staff that has yet to do what they need to do. We have a coach who's wildly stubborn. A lot of coaches in the league are.
Yeah, they are.
And I think calling out very specific issues that I have with Rob Brindamore right now, I think are fair game. Like not willing to jumble up the defensive pairs, I think is stupid. And I think at some point it's going to be perceived as such. Especially when we're so wildly inconsistent.
Yes. What's the next question?
Next question from Sawyer Newsom. How much of the future are you all willing to mortgage in order to fix some of these glaring issues? Should every prospect and or pick be on the table? Every prospect but Nikishin should be on the table.
I love that question too. I think we've discussed this actually in the past episode, I think a few months ago during the off season. But I think that is a great question to ask. I think the biggest thing when it comes to trying to leverage your future for winning in the present is prioritizing. And I think it's pretty much clear on that prioritizing list that Nikishkin is off the limits. Sure. I think that's it.
But we have some other really good players. Bradley Nadeau. We have first round picks. We have second round picks. We have Scott Morrow. We have players that we would probably be willing to move. And we have a lot of picks. I think we have 2 seconds this year.
Yes.
And I mean, if you move Pesci for picks and prospects, there are other ways that you can address some more glaring problems that we have, right?
Now, I wouldn't like it because that doesn't solve the now situation.
If you move Pesci to a team that, well, one, he won't, you know, he'll waive his contract for, I think that in and of itself you know, you clear up the cap, you know, you take the picks, prospects. It was a design for move for the cap space, collect the prospects, moving out to get better, right? So it's just a long way to still get what you want from another team.
Yes. So, I mean, I would say Nikishkin, and I would say probably, I would say be careful with the first round pick. That's all I'm going to say.
I think
just be careful. I think you can trade it, but be careful.
I'm willing to move that first round pick only at the deadline, unless you're getting somebody like, if you choose to go in all in on fixing the goaltending, right? At that point, you're getting a Gibson or you're getting a Soros, right? Or a UC Soros. And at that point, yeah, move the first round pick, get UC yes. Soros, get John Gibson.
I agree.
Right? At that point, you're getting the really, really good goaltending. And you probably at that point are looking at a Anderson Soros kind of 1A, 1B situation when Freddie's back. And I think that's great. At that point, yeah, you move your first round pick and go get yourself a goalie.
Gibson makes a lot of sense. And the reason why I say that is because we know this team has traded a first round pick with a guy with Term and Che.
Before we get to the goalies, the next question is about goaltending.
Yes, let's go to
that.
We're going
to get to the next one. The next two questions are about goaltending, so I'll ask both. From Sean, do we need to make a bigger move than just goalie in order to bring guys out of this funk? I don't know what that would look like, but it seems like even the best goalie in the league wouldn't have made much of a difference last night. Bryson Law, the guy who won our giveaway, asks, is Carter Hart an option? So
I can't see from Philadelphia's standpoint, I can't see them trading Carter Hart.
No, yeah. Given Philly's in a position of possibly ending their playoff drought, yeah, I don't think they're going to give away their top goaltender. If they somehow fall out wildly by deadline day, maybe.
Even then, he's a young goalie. You're not going to trade a young goalie. Those are few and far between.
Probably not, especially when they're as good as he is. Do we need to do something bigger to get these players out of the funk?
I'm not saying something drastic like a Hanifin Lindholm trade. I'm not saying advocating for that. I'm just advocating, I think, you got to fix goaltending. And
move a defenseman.
If it fixes goaltending now, I'd say now, then at the trade deadline, maybe you can address scoring.
Yeah, and look, and I also think if you can turn Brett Pesce into a forward, I think you do that. Because there are playoff teams that he might not, you know, that are teams that are probably going to be in the playoffs that need a defenseman, but have a plethora of offense, Toronto being just another option, right? They need defense.
New Jersey with Hamilton out.
New Jersey, sure, yeah.
It seems like Vancouver might be still in the market after the trade.
I don't know what Zadorov. Vancouver has offensively that would be available. JT Miller, I doubt it, but that would be the only guy I could see them willing to move.
Well, we're seeing them Saturday, so I guess you'll see how Vancouver's players play. But, I mean, I think their forward group is a little bit interesting. You have Miller, Besser. You have, now, I don't think Elias Pettersson's going to go anywhere, in my opinion.
Pettersson's not going anywhere.
Andre Kuzmenko, maybe. Maybe. But you need a goal scorer, and I think other than Brock Besser, this team doesn't have a natural goal scorer, because Brock Besser, I think, is.
Yeah, and I mean, so Pettersson.
Even JT Miller, I just don't see him as a natural goal scorer.
I think Pettersson might be.
Besser has 18 goals.
I mean, at the end of the day, I feel like a natural trade partner for Carolina might be Toronto. Because they're going to be cap strapped and they might be willing to move somebody like a Nylander or a Marner in order to bring some of that cap down. And with Carolina gaining some cap, you move Pesce, you know, it works. It can work. So there are definitely some trade partners out there for the offense. So, yes, I talk a lot about trading Pesce. I hate it. Look, Pesci's been here through the bad times and the great times, and I would love to see him win a Stanley Cup here. However, I do not think he's been very good this season. And I think if his value is as high as it's going to get. I think
he's been fine. It's just that Edmonton game was so glaring. Oh my gosh, that was I think the worst performance I have seen Trey in.
If Pesci has trade value, it's going to have to be before the deadline. It's going to have to be by deadline day, so you're going to have to move him by then, or else you're going to potentially let Shea and Pesci walk. And if I get the, we like our group and we know we're going to view him as our own rentals, I'm like, you are foolish.
Because, yeah, please don't do that again. Just like, please.
Purebred foolishness if you do that. Next question. Should the Canes consider a more hybrid defensive scheme? It seems every line has someone that either has lost a step or is struggling skate keep up. Also, why do the forwards seem to try to force plays instead of letting a play develop? Well, I'll say this on the defense. They need to jumble the pairs. Yes, because Burns is older. Age very well could be catching up to the guy. Flip-flop, put D'Angelo there, put Burns on a second, third pair. There are things you can do. Jumble the defense up. I think that'll fix some of those problems. On the offensive side, yeah, I think they are trying to force too many passes. I don't know why.
That's a great observation, and I agree. They are. They need to simplify play. That's the biggest thing when it comes to our forwards.
Absolutely. And look, if there's a system problem, and I think I said at the beginning of the season, I'd like to see a little bit of a change.
And this is a team that relies on the dump and chase. And from a couple of hockey documentaries that I've seen, that's the old American style. I wouldn't mind seeing the Russian style where you possess the puck constantly and go on that transition.
Yeah.
Constant transition type of game.
And that question was from Rod Davidson. Next question that we have is from AB, not our friend, but it looks like someone else with the same name. Seen a lot of commentary on needing another goalie. What would you like to trade? Another depth piece, and who would that be? So, I mean, I guess now we can put it up. What goalie would you like to see Carolina get? You're right. What do you think is doable? So we'll say, we'll put the restraints on. What do you think is more possible? What is possible and doable? So, like, this is something that you could see actually happening.
That's hard. Because I haven't done the research on this. But it might not be a big move, but I could totally see Carolina doing it because I think it's the most realistic standpoint, and that's signing Halak. Now, the goalie that I'd really want to see, and I think they could do, he carries a bit of a large cap hit, $6.3 million for the next 4 years, but Anaheim's not doing good. And I could see us trading a first-round pick. We've done it before where we've traded a first-round pick for a guy with term in Brady Shea, John Gibson. I'd like to see John Gibson in a Hurricanes jersey. I really could. And I think I might have heard something on X. It could have been, I mean, just someone that's not credible, that Carolina might be looking at John Gibson.
And that's a goalie Carolina has looked at in the past, so it's not beyond the realm. I have two goalies that I like, and I'm kind of pulling up their stats right now before I say who they are. It would be via trade. If you look at the teams that they're on, you know, their stats aren't outstanding, but they're on a really crappy teams. And their stats were a little bit better at the beginning of the season when they were starting out. Peter Mrazek from Chicago. He has started 14 games. He's won 5, 3.42 goals against, .899 save percent. Goals against is high. Again, he's on a really crappy team that doesn't – he gets hit a lot. I mean, just their last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 games that he's played, 34 saves, 29 saves, 36 saves, 18 saves. That was his worst game, 20 saves. So he's facing, on average, over 20 shots a game, probably a little bit closer to that 30 mark. I mean, 34, 29, 36, 18, 20. So the only one game where they had, you know, they suppressed. At that point, it's just their inability to score. But he's getting, you know, hit hard. He's not going to have that problem in Carolina. We've seen his play in Carolina. Peter Mrazek's been pretty healthy over the last couple of seasons. I'm pretty content with giving Mrazek the reins here. I think he would do very well. I mean, he might not be the great answer, but he's a good temporary answer if Anderson can be back for the playoffs.
Yeah.
Next goaltender, his stats are a lot worse. I think he's but I think what we've seen from him.
Is this from Montreal or Detroit? Yeah.
I would like Karel Vemelka from Arizona. He's an older goalie. Or he's a younger goalie, sorry. His stats aren't very good this year. 3.45 goals against and a .892 save percent average. He's facing a lot of the same problems that Mrazek does, right? A lot of shots on goal. The only game he didn't have that problem was against St. Louis, and that was a bad performance there on his part. But he's paced 27 saves, 33 saves, 36 saves, 24 saves. So, I mean, you know, looking like, you know, it's over 30 shots a game. His average, again, isn't great, but he would be in front of a better defense, theoretically. So I like Vemelka. I like Mrazek. I think those are two goalies you could potentially get. I think the only thing that you're going to have on the problem with Vemelka is Arizona's looking to add, not subtract. So,
yeah, and I was looking at the teams that I'm like, what teams are out of it?
And Montreal,
Mrazek's a good one.
Yeah, Mrazek's good. I think, what is it? Jake Allen
from Montreal.
Yeah. That's not a horrible option.
Detroit, I know, has three goalies.
So they might just be willing to move one.
Yeah.
Saros has been on the block before. I think that one's more expensive. It's doable. It's just going to cost you more. And at that point, I'm guessing whenever we can, we'll move. I mean, well, at that point, Ronch is done at the end of the year for sure, and it'll probably be Anderson and Saros. But at that point, Anderson's going to have to understand he's going to be a backup. And he's older, so, I mean, you know, that's not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
With injury problems. So, I mean, you know, if you buy Freddie out on his last year of his contract to go with Kochetkov and Saros, I'm not upset with that either. But, yeah, I mean, there are some goaltenders out there who are on the block, who are possible. But goalies are at a premium because there are teams who want goaltenders right now. Carolina being one, Edmonton being the other.
New Jersey.
New Jersey has two goalies. I mean.
Well, they're not playing good.
New Jersey in general hasn't been playing good, so.
Overall,
it's time for a change, whether that is a trade. I don't think Carolina has the luxury to do that. You and I are about to go downstairs and watch Calgary. And if Carolina loses Calgary and then loses against Vancouver.
I'm going to cry. I'm just kidding.
If we lose these next two games, right, these will be the next two games that we talk about. I'll just be honest with you. I don't think Carolina can afford to lose either of them. Because then you're going 500 on the road, and I really felt like Carolina could only afford to lose two. And they lost.
Now, as we're saying this, just think. The next remaining road games, we win three out of four. I'm fine with that. But even then, I'm still uncertain about our goaltending.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens tonight. If Carolina loses tonight, it's three in a row, and I think that's unacceptable. Yes. Especially because we've only won three in a row at one point. We haven't won three in a row, I think, in a while.
And I think in October, we're on a three-game losing streak, too. So
it's time to figure it out. This game isn't going to be easy. Calgary is still a pretty solid team. They haven't been great this season, but Lindholm tends to play well against us.
Yes, he does. Well, so we will cover that game in our next episode. That's going to be coming out Monday. So we will see you guys then.
Thanks for listening to the Kaniac Report. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss a future episode. Can't get enough of the Kaniac Report? For more content or to connect with the Sams, check them out on Instagram and Twitter at the Kaniac Report. We'll see you next time.